Parkinson Spiegel draft special rolls on, and now it's time to get serious. We are live in Detroit, Manley and Wani in Chicago, Shane in the madness at draft headquarters, Mark Grody at Hallis Hall. You will hear from the commissioner to put the Bears on the clock. You will hear the commissioner make the Bears pick. We will not be scooping picks based on Twitter. We will scoop trades as they relate to the Bears and movement between 1 and 9. This is the time where we get ready officially for Caleb Williams to become a Chicago Bear. And we've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. But, Coach, since you're the most recent to join us, your thoughts on Caleb Williams for anyone who somehow doesn't know them at this point?
Well, I'll tell you what. He has really grown on me since. I think it's been very good from the standpoint that, you know, it was kind of foreseen that he was going to be our guy. And once he started talking about it publicly, you know, how many times have we seen him on national TV in the last 3 or 4 days? And I'll tell you what, he's impressive. I'm really excited about this guy. You know, obviously the talent, but I really didn't know him. Just some of the stuff that you read and heard about him as a person, as a team player, coming to Chicago and excited about the city of Chicago. I think he really closed the bridge because of in the last few days with all of his interviews that he did. He's been fantastic. I'm excited for him and for the fans, Bear fans, really.
Hey, Coach, we have thought many times over the previous few months about the experience you had in scouting and getting to know and getting ready to draft a player who I correctly guessed was Curtis Enos. And you told us the story of having talked to so many people. As you've dug into this, you know Matt Eberflus. You know, you guys have talked. Do you feel like the Bears have done their best possible due diligence on Caleb Williams?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. And, I don't have any question about that, you know, from the standpoint. I mean, all the exposure that they could have gotten that we're aware of, they have done it out there in L.A. at the combines, obviously here in Chicago. So, you know, it's they've done everything they can do, you know, and we know the ability. And he's got, you know, the only thing that I would say is, hey, you know, let's keep the main thing, which is football and winning games. And hopefully, you know, the city of Chicago can do that to you. It's going to be just such a swarm of excitement and a swarm of opportunities along with that. You just don't want him to, not keep the main thing. I'm repeating myself, but That's how I really believe. You know, let's just go out there and learn the offense and have a good mini camp and go from there.
The level of player we're talking about here is unlike anything that Bears fans have ever experienced at the position. You know, we've had the top quarterback drafted in Mitch Trubisky. We've had one of the best athletes to ever play quarterback in Justin Fields. We had another team's young Pro Bowler who represented a lot of hope in Jay Cutler. But the number one pick quarterback is a thing that this city has never experienced. And the pressure and the spotlight that comes with that is intense. The franchise that's never had a 4,000-yard passer, the franchise that's never had a 30-touchdown passer. But this is a uniquely qualified prospect for the spotlight. This is a guy who's been groomed to do this since he was 10 years old, seems to love football, and has Denzel Washington's phone number in his pocket and has lived in a penthouse apartment in L.A. the last couple of years. You know, it's a very unique situation in terms of pressure and spotlight, and a guy, Coach and Pat, you guys know about spotlight, who is ready to handle a spotlight. And I'm seeing on Twitch and YouTube, I believe, Dave, are you good now?
I am good. I'm going to be real good once this pick is announced, okay?
You just got handed a bottle?
Thank you, boss.
Yep.
Thank you, boss Mitch.
There we go. There we go. That's why you need to be watching on X, Twitch, YouTube. Dave complains about not having a full bottle of bourbon, and 8 minutes later, he's got a new bottle of bourbon. It's amazing what we can do in Chicago.
That is a powerful man, and deservedly so. Pat, can you speak to a quarterback coming into a new locker room, maybe when it was drafted high, and yet people weren't sure exactly what they were getting, and perhaps it didn't feel great in your tenure?
Cade McNown, I'll say it. It just didn't go well. Everybody knew that when he got here. He came from L.A. He was the L.A. kid. He acted like he was from L.A. And and just walked in and didn't treat everybody like I was describing earlier, how I would like Caleb to walk into the locker room and just kind of just work hard, do the right things, talk to people the right way. Kay did not do that. And we all saw it, and it rubbed us all wrong. And you know, I was still a young player at that time, but I would look at the veterans, and they didn't like it at all. And it just did not go well from the start when he walked in and just kind of treated everybody from the trainers to the equipment staff with a little bit of a, you know, smugness. And it just was not good. So you just can't do that. And I learned from that, you know, if you watch rookies walk in and they act that way, it's probably not going to end up right, and especially at that quarterback position.
Well, that's, of course, who I was thinking of. And I remember a story that I believe Bernsie told from the draft combine of that year, where he was there at the combine and a bunch of scouts were walking around and GMs were walking around, and Cade McNown was standing there going, pick me, I'm the best one, go ahead, pick me. And you love that kind of confidence. At the time, I thought it was an endearing story, mm-hmm. you know? But then you talk about the kind of arrogance that you're describing and the quiet confidence you hope that Caleb has. And they're different things, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And Coach, you can probably speak to this as well, that, hey, man, the play is great. If you're a great player and all that, you want to win. You look at your teammate that way, and that's a great thing. But the locker room, to me, is just as important to get the wins, to continue to be great, to go on to be a playoff Super Bowl winning team. And the number one guy everybody looks at is the quarterback. And if he's not there for everybody else, not having lunch with the linemen, the receivers, or whatever – it just doesn't go well. So you can play and be a great player all you want, but you got to have both. And it sounds like he has that, just the way he talks about his O-lineman, bringing his O-lineman out to the Heisman, which is amazing how much money he has to be able to do that with the NIL.
Exactly. Yep, he brought the whole – right.
But that says a lot to me. It seems like he's going to walk in and be the right thing. And, you know, Coach alluded to it a little bit. Just – what did you say? Just the right thing is the right thing or whatever. But I just hope he doesn't worry about his brand. You know, you hear about these guys worrying about, you know, my brand. Your brand is winning football games. Your brand is coming here to Chicago and throwing for 4,000 yards. That's how you build your brand. That's what I want to see. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but hopefully he does that.
He's got five attorneys. Come on. What are we talking about?
Well, this is the modern athlete, though, Coach.
I know. It's different.
Okay. It is different.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
I mean, the guy's got a multimillionaire. He's got brand deals with, Tops and Panini and Beats by Dre and State Farm. He's a business man. He's Caleb Williams. He's the next Bears franchise quarterback. Sounds like we're going to get some live audio here from Detroit and the commissioner to put the Bears on the clock in just a little bit. But, I mean, to your point, yeah, brought the offensive line to the Heisman Trophy ceremony, gave everybody Beats by Dre headphones.
Welcome here we go, to the NFL draft in Detroit.
Who's that, Eminem?
Let's go, Big D.
Eminem?
That is Eminem, yes, Coach.
Em, I was just kidding about the rap battle. We're going to save that for another day. But the pride of Detroit has got a little some surprise for you and bringing out a few other surprises for you. So, Em, here you go.
Em.
Detroit! What up?
Dump button ready.
It's here. Make some noise for the Detroit Lions. Let's go!
I don't need Aiden Hutchinson because he's not going to be able to catch Caleb Williams.
The Lions aren't on the clock for like 29 picks.
Yeah. All right, let's celebrate Detroit another day. I get it. No, I'm just kidding. It's a great city.
M, here you go. Mr. and M. Mr. M,
I called Kid Cudi Mr. Cudi once.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was fun.
How'd that go?
He gave me a courtesy chuckle. He gave me a courtesy chuckle and kept it moving. All right, but seriously, we don't need to – when they put him on the clock, we'll go back there. But congratulations to Aiden Hutchinson and the Lions for their 1 year of supremacy of the NFC North.
Well, but
because the Bears are coming.
This team, guys, Pat and Dave, this team, the Lions, that everyone is celebrating – you can see the beginnings of what they were doing a few years ago. You see the tremendous job that they did in a family business, by the way. You know, they brought in Chris Spielman, and the Ford family business stepped into a different level and a different gear. We want to be the Lions. We aspire to feeling like we have something that they have, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, they have a good foundation. They drafted well. They've got a lot of good young players. I mean, do we want to be the Lions? I don't know about that, Spiggs.
No.
But, you know.
Who do we want to be, Pat?
I wouldn't go that far. But, you know.
I mean, Caleb wants to be Aaron Rodgers and beat Tom Brady.
Yeah, there you go. That fits better. When they walked out there, you know what that reminded me of? I was not here, but I remember after the Bears won the North, what, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever that was, I remember that they had some function, and I saw it on social media, and it just reminded me of that. They were coming out, and everybody was dancing, and everybody was feeling real good, and it's a distant memory.
Yeah, the thing is, you got to be able to sustain some success. And that's what I'm hoping the Bears can do with what Ryan Poles has built to this point.
Come on.
From all those cheers for the Lions, including Barry Sanders, here's the commissioner.
Detroit, we got fans from 32 teams right down here, and, of course, all the Detroit faithful in the back. Welcome to all of you, and most importantly, thank you to Detroit. You guys have been awesome. All right. You ready to get the show on the road? Okay, the 2024 NFL Draft is now underway. The Chicago Bears are now on the clock.
10 minutes.
Oh, we won't take 10 minutes, Danny.
Oh, no, Coach. You forget who's in charge now. It's a marketing politician in Kevin Warren. He's going to tell him to take the full 10. So the NFL Network and ESPN and ABC and everybody has to spend 10 minutes talking about the beauty of a situation that Caleb Williams is walking into. It didn't take 10 minutes when they got the number one pick, 3 months ago. But they're going to take this full 10 minutes to soak the whole thing up. Absolutely. It's a TV show at this point.
Is a pastor going to come up and kick off the draft pick?
He's going to announce the pick.
Yeah. Let us pray.
But maybe you think so. Maybe the NFL Network tells the Bears, like, hey, give us 7 minutes. So we can, we've been working on Caleb, and, we need seven minutes to talk about him.
This is a TV show.
It's a TV show. So not only are the Bears interested in being talked about, the NFL and the NFL Network is interested in talking about the Bears. I mean, here's the thing. This is a great scenario for the NFL. Not that the league needs it. They can thrive with Pat Mahomes in Kansas City, and they can thrive with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. But having Caleb Williams in Chicago, having a winner in Chicago, is only going to mean better business for the Bears. I suspect we'll find the Bears on the primetime schedule several times more than they would have been had they not had Caleb Williams this coming year.
They'll be maxed out. I think the max is 6. They'll be maxed out on national TV for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a marketer's dream without question. It's an inevitability. And from the football standpoint, I got a million Caleb Williams factoids, but this is a pretty good one. No player in the last 3 years has more touchdowns than Caleb Williams. He's got 120 of them. Only 3 guys are over 100. Bo Nix, Sam Hartman, and Caleb Williams. No one in college football has been responsible for more. This is the most prolific player in college football the last 3 years, a Heisman Trophy winner, and an absolute superstar.
For 3 years, people have been talking about him as the number one quarterback in whatever draft he ended up in. Do you think we have some exhaustion? Have you felt some exhaustion about Caleb Williams?
I'm not exhausted.
No, I know you're not. But Pat Mattingly, Dave Wanstead, have you guys felt some exhaustion about all the Caleb stuff because of how long we've known he's the guy?
No, I think you just want to dive in more. Like Coach said, listening to interviews and finding out what he is like a person. I just want to know more because if he is or he will be the Bears quarterback, I want to find out more. I'm hungry to see if he's going to be a fit and see how great he can be at the NFL level, and everything looks like it will be. And I'm just excited as a Bears fan, Bears alumni, that we've got a guy and hopefully he can change this franchise and sustain success for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, you remember, I don't know if I said it on your show or Molly and Haw, the old expression – the talent sets the floor and character sets the ceiling. And, that's when all the crazy stuff was being rumored of him. I'm not going to get into it now after the not bad stuff, but just personality wise that it made you wonder if if the total commitment was really there, to be honest with you. And he's answered all those questions, I think, so it's been great. And he talks about Tom Brady. I mean, I got it firsthand from the Bucs. When he walked in the building, that Super Bowl run, everybody in the building was walking on eggshells because they knew that Tom was it. The minute he walked in, it was business. And everybody was accountable and everybody was going to be on their toes and all in from the trainers. And that's the type of commitment when you say Tom Brady winning 6 Super Bowls, people lose sight of what Tom did on a daily basis to prepare himself, the team, everybody to win 6 Super Bowls.
Well, that's super valuable stuff to think about, Coach, because if we think about quarterbacks as like this great deodorant and they make everything else better. It's not just with their play. And so, I mean, did you see this from Aikman early on, from Aikman in Dallas? Did you see a work ethic? Did you see diligence and like leadership that we might want to see from Caleb as a rookie?
I mean, that's a good, Troy was work ethic. The guy, we used to throw him out of the weight room. I mean, and run sprints. Yes, the work ethic was there, but Troy was naive from the standpoint of he was just a college kid out of, and he wanted to try to make it in the NFL and be as good as he could be. And, back then, I mean, there weren't lawyers and business deals and all that. I mean, all he had was football. And that's what he, knew that if he was going to be as successful in life, that he had to excel. And so the commitment was definitely there, to answer your question.
Yeah, well, you sound a little worried, Coach, that the commitment might not be all the way
there. No, that's not what I'm saying, because I think he answered those questions for me. That's what I said in the beginning. I'm so glad that we had this week of interviews to really get to know the kid, And, I talked to a guy 2 days ago that went to Gonzaga High School, and he's a guy, older guy, and they had a big reunion 2 years ago for all the ex-players, and it was guys 50, 60, 70, and Caleb flew back for it, and the guy had pictures, and he was fantastic with these old men, that he didn't need to go back there and be part of that whole scene. And you hear that type of stuff, and that's exciting when you start looking at who he is as a person on the field and off the field.
On this long-form interview that he did with Ryan Clark and the guys on The Pivot, they were talking to him about the hardest part of this process, thinking it was going to be the scrutiny and people picking him apart. They were talking about the internet and things that he had heard and had to clap back at and that sort of thing. And he said, it's the longest I've been without having a team, because they didn't get to the college football playoff. He skips the bowl game. Wow. So he has been in draft prep for so long. He's like, I need to get back in a locker room. I need to get back with guys. I need to get back working out. Not that he's not working out, but like working out with the team, diving into a playbook, doing all of those things.
So he loves that part of it.
Yeah. So that was his first answer. And it was in the context of all of the other stuff. And he went right to that is it the longest I've been since he's been playing quarterback since he was 10, football before that.
Yeah, he's not planning for a new USC year. He's got no team with which to plan.
Which is why the install of the Bears thing has been so obvious, right? Meeting with Matt Eberflus for 90 minutes the day before the pro day, going out to dinner with the teammates, having a throwing session with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. I mean, they have been doing the install for a long time with this guy, because it is an inevitability that they are taking this franchise quarterback. And it's just, I don't have a question of whether or not this guy loves football. He plays with a joy that suggests to me that he loves football, honestly. I think that you can see how much
with
he loves it when he's out there.
In the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
Savor this moment, Bears fans. Caleb Williams is a Bear. He represents the best hope the Bears have had at quarterback in any of our lifetime. And frankly speaks for me, this is the most exciting moment for the Bears since they were in the Super Bowl.
That makes wow. The most exciting moment since they were in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I mean, the playoff run with Matt Nagy comes to mind. Obviously, a game with the Packers for Cutler. I mean, there's many different things that come to mind.
This is sustained success and the possibility of it at the quarterback position. This is a guy talking about wanting to beat Tom Brady. This is a guy wanting to be in a city for 20 years and go win 8 Super Bowls. This is a massive, massive moment.
Yeah, I think he's excited. You can see him right there. I mean, this is legitimately excited about being drafted number one and with Chicago. That's awesome. It really is. It's
Coach,
so cool.
He's dreamed of exactly this his entire life. 1-1 was very much a goal. Being the greatest of all time, very much a goal. And I think he has fallen in love with the Bears situation. But I'm okay if it's a little bigger for him in this moment to be 1-1 than to be a Bear. This is a childhood dream getting realized.
You know what this does? This makes the Bears relevant. That's the word that comes to my mind. You know, I mean, all of a sudden – we knew we had a good defense. We knew we could run the ball, but now all of a sudden, I mean, we're a playoff team. I mean, we're in the mix. We should be a relevant team come December. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Coach, and Pat, right? It's a 7-win team who's added a whole bunch and now gets to add this kid. There's no reason not to think playoffs for this coming year.
No, there's not. But I'm going to make this pick about me. I'll make kind of a joke. I'm hoping Caleb Williams breaks all my records of games played and years of service with the Bears. That's what I want him to do. I mean, break it, please, because that means we've got sustained success like you were talking about. You've got Super Bowls. You've got playoff runs.
And give me those numbers. What were those numbers, Pat?
245 games, 16 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Let's do it.
Please go do that. Do that for us as fans, for us as alumni, us in the media. That means we're enjoying the Bears' wins and seeing a great player play. And if you're playing that long for one franchise, you're doing something right, and I would love to see that from Caleb Williams.
That is awesome. Pat Manley wants Caleb to break his Bears records for years and games played. Coach Dave Wanstead feels the Bears now being relevant in a different way. That feeling washed over him as he watched Caleb. Danny calls it the most excited he's been as a Bears fan since the Super Bowl. I keep thinking about the fan base being defined by quarterback starvation for all these decades. Is this the first 4,000-yard passer? Is this the first 30-touchdown thrower
in a season?
Yes, please.
I mean, finally, are we going to get, in the modern NFL, full of big numbers and explosive quarterbacks that win you playoff games? Do the Bears finally have one? This is easily the best chance that we've had in our lifetimes of having that guy in a league where you have to have that guy.
If somehow this guy doesn't break those two records, I'll start to believe in curses. He is way too talented and walking into way too good of a situation. Quarterbacks at his level of prospect do not bust. They might underachieve. They don't bust. And then you add in Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Darnell Wright, Cole Kmet, a top 10, maybe top 5 defense, the 9th overall pick, a good cap situation, a GM that you trust. This is an excellent, unprecedented situation for a number 1 pick overall quarterback to walk into. I think those Bears franchise records are falling maybe as soon as his rookie year.
Yeah, that's the point. You know, you mentioned, I was just thinking of Troy. Our first game, he had 9, I think he got sacked 9 times in the game, you know? I mean, that's how bad our offensive line was and the whole bit. So, yeah, completely different situation. And it's unique. It's so unique on so many different.
We want to take reaction, Bears fans. It's official. You've been waiting for this for days, weeks, months, or in some of our cases, our entire lives. 312-644-6767. You can have the first word on the score as a fan after the Bears drafting Caleb Williams. 312-644-6767.
I got to say, in terms of that draft pick, I'm not surprised. I don't know about you guys.
You know,
anybody shocked?
I had that one. I'm 1-for-1 in my mock draft.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's mock is 1-for-1.
Hey, I was giving it out when you only had to bet $1,200 to win 100. Today, you had to bet 5 G's to win 100.
Oh, my God.
Or I think it was 50,000. Yeah, you bet 50,000 to win. I mean,
to win 100.
Yeah, it's just been such an unbelievable lock for so long at this point. I mean, I got more. I mean, we want fun facts. We got 46-1 touchdown to interception ratio
in the red zone
the last 2 years at USC.
That's what it is. Pat Mattingly, we have seen players that have the aggression to take chances, but that usually comes with turnovers. Fumbles are an issue for Caleb. And
FBS and fumbles.
Led FBS and fumbles, so we'll have to work on that for sure. But the interception numbers are striking. Will those go up naturally in the NFL just because talent is better?
I think they will, and they'll probably go up early, and then he can grow out of them. You know, he's probably going to have to learn the NFL game, learn out NFL defenses, and the speed's going to be a little different. And I think definitely they'll go up. But what I'm most excited about this, guys, I want to follow up what you said earlier about Caleb Williams, that now when I'm prepping for a pregame show, the Bears have the potential to say we're going to win this game because we have the better quarterback, the most important position in football.
Dude.
And you look at the teams, like I always say, a top seven quarterback, you feel like you're going to go to the playoffs every year if you have one of those guys. Potentially he can be one of those. And when you're breaking down a game plan each week or comparing them to whoever, now you can say we're going to win because of our quarterback, not our defense or, you know, returner, special teams with Devin Hester, things like that. But now you have potentially a quarterback that is a game changer and a game winner.
You know, you talk about the fumbles and stuff. You know, and he's been sacked a lot. And I went back and looked at this and talked to some quarterback guys and offensive coordinators around the league, current and guys that are out of it. And the one thing, and it's going to be, I think it can be an easy fix for him. The one thing that he did not do was use the tight ends and the running back and the checkdowns. If you watch him play, he'll drop back. And if the guys are covered, which they're going to be, rather than taking the easy little throw, he would try to stay alive with the ball until somebody got open, and then more times than not, he might get sacked or something. I mean, that's an easy fix, and I think that'll happen, and it'll clean that up really quick.
You know, it's interesting, Coach, because we've lived through this watching Mitch Trubisky have to learn some things, watching Justin Fields have to learn some things. There are going to be things for Caleb to learn, and some of them are going to ring familiar, right? We've talked about checkdowns, with Fields for a couple of years. We've talked about fumbles with Fields. We're going to talk about whether he leaves the pocket too soon and tucks and runs. We're going to talk about, you know, making plays in structure. I mean, this is the stuff that college quarterbacks have to do. We're going to talk about all that stuff, aren't we? The hope is just that Caleb is better at those adjustments and quicker at those adjustments.
Yep. You talking to me?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I don't know what. Yeah, I was just looking at here to see what who's taking what. But yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Whatever you said, Spiggs. I really wasn't listening to what you were
talking
about. Appreciate
you. Oh my God. Okay, Coach, we got a long way to go, buddy. You got to lock in.
It's all right.
Jaden Daniels is the second pick in the draft for the Washington Commanders. So it's going chalk so far. Caleb Williams to the Bears. Jaden Daniels to the Commanders.
I'm 2-for-2 in my mock draft.
312-644-6767. Tony from Oglesby is on the Parkinson Spiegel draft special after the Bears take Caleb Williams. What up, Tony?
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you. I listen to you every day. And my first quarterback that I saw was Bob Avellini.
Oh, I saw Bob a week ago in Naples.
Oh, my God. That's great, Coach. He was 1977 quarterback, and they made the playoffs against your Dallas Cowboys, Coach. And they got their butts kicked, and I can't wait to see the Bears kick some butt. I am so excited. You can't believe how long I've waited for some hope like this. And I've seen every quarterback, and I'm not going to name them, but they're bad. And this is
we know the names, Tony.
We know them all.
Hey, Tony, I had to live through some of that. Come on.
So did Pat.
Oh, that's true.
That's why I'm just hopeful this guy hits and he just changes the whole city and the franchise. I just, you know, it looks like it could be there, and I'm hopeful for that.
It's okay to have that hope, even though you feel like you've been burned a few times or a few dozen times, because this is the best way to do it. Hey, Coach, do you believe in that Pat was talking about earlier about, like, you know, certain quarterbacks you win with and certain quarterbacks you win because of? Is that true, especially in the NFL as it stands right now?
Yes, absolutely. I use the old expression, okay, you're down by a couple scores. Do you have the type of guy that when they know you're going to throw it and you know you have to throw it, they can take the team and put them on the shoulders and get down and score and win the football game? And Caleb has proven that he can do that. So, the one thing I was thinking of that Pat said when he was talking about the locker room, you know what's so important about that? It might not be who's going to dinner with who and who's doing what, but I always thought that it was critical. Think about this, guys. It's the end of the game, the scenario I just described, and now everybody's in the huddle. The eyes are up. The crowd's going, and the quarterback is the only guy that's going to speak. And he walks into that huddle, and he looks everybody in the eye, and that's when all the work that you've done in the locker room and the relationships and the leadership, that's when it pays off. That's when the guys believe that, hey, he can do this and will do this for us. So, I mean, it's a big deal in the locker room, like Pat said, but it definitely carries over onto the field.
312-644-6767, hearing from Grody later at Hallis Hall, Shane Reardon in the Madness in Detroit, Wani, Manley, Parkins, Spiegel, and you. Fernando, I don't know if he's watching on Twitch or X or YouTube or the Odyssey app, but he's in L.A. Caleb Williams used to live there. Now he's coming to Chicago. What up, Fernando?
Hey, guys. I love listening to you, Danny, Spiegs, and Coach Wani. Love you guys. I listen to you every day out here in L.A. Bear down.
That's awesome, Fernando. Thanks, man. How you feeling after this pick?
Excited. I'm really happy, man. Our Bears finally got it right. I just want to say that, I love Justin. Love that all the plays he made for us and everything. But, we didn't do right by him. So we have everything laid out for Caleb. So he's coming in here, and I just want to give him a short leash and, let him prove to us that we made the right choice.
Thanks for the call, Fernando. You know, when Coach Wanstead was saying earlier, and you'd said it during the year, Coach, about the fourth quarter when everybody knows you got to go back there and get it done. We saw a Super Bowl where both quarterbacks did that, Mahomes more so even than Purdy. At the end, everybody knew he had to go back there and get it done. And I feel like when the Bears talked about the fourth quarter failings or the fourth quarter numbers of Justin Fields, it fit perfectly with what Wani had talked about of the stories of the fourth quarter and what he just talked about of the character of the quarterback and knowing that you believe in him. I think that stuff really does matter, both the numbers of it and the soft factors of it.
As we continue on the Parkinson Spiegel draft special live from Detroit, the New England Patriots have the pick in. We'll update you on that. We'll get you ready for the 9th overall pick. And coming up next, Caleb's first words as a Chicago Bear. It's Parkins and Spiegel and Manley and Wani live from Detroit on The Score.
Williams has time against a four-man rush. Backpedaling, scanning, now running out of time. Circling back. Joystick on the move again. Are you kidding me? Caleb Williams dancing, cutting. Mesmerizing run by the quarterback, finally dragged down at the 20. It's a highlight reel tonight.
He did the Heisman pose earlier. If he wants to do the Heisman pose after this play, I'm okay with it.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
We're back with more of the Parkinson Spiegel Show Draft Special, featuring Dave Wanstead and Patrick Manley. Brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
And we are live in Detroit on the Parkinson Spiegel Draft Special. Wani and Manley in studio updating you on what has happened so far in the draft. And thank you for watching on X and Twitch and YouTube and listening on the Odyssey app. Caleb Williams is a Bear. Jaden Daniels, a Commander, Drake May, a Patriot, and Marvin Harrison Jr. just off the board at 4 to the Cardinals. So there have been no trades, and a receiver going 4, probably not a great first data point for those of us that are hoping that Odunze or Neighbors is there at 9. Not a guarantee, but the run on receivers starting at 4, potentially not good for a receiver being there at 9.
There's been a thought that the Giants would be interested in Jay J.J. McCarthy should he fall all the way there. So now you wonder if the Vikings will try and jump up with the Chargers, who are at this pick right here, number 5, and jump the Giants for McCarthy. I'd suspect that McCarthy will go in one of these next few picks, don't you?
Yeah, I would expect so, but we have no trades yet, and we will give you the reporting on the trades, and we'll get back to going to the podium live for picks a little bit later as it gets closer and closer to the 9th pick and the Bears being back on the clock.
When Caleb Williams walked onto the stage to greet Roger Goodell, he let out an enormous primal scream. It looked awesome. Apparently, it sounded awesome if you were close to it. And he is thrilled and excited to be a Bear.
Well, let's hear from Caleb, and then Pat and Coach can react to Caleb Williams' first brief. We'll have much more as we go throughout the show, but here are Caleb Williams' first words to Molly McGrath and ESPN as a Bear.
Caleb, you told me you've been dreaming of this moment ever since you were a little kid. You have always wanted to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. What did it take to get here?
It took a lot of sacrifice, love, care, for one, the game of football, my teammates, my coaches, and my family.
You won a Heisman Trophy. You're the number one pick in the NFL draft. What is your next goal as a member of the Chicago Bears?
Learn all my teammates' names, their families, learn the playbook, and get ready to go win games.
All right, congratulations, Caleb.
Thank you.
How's that play in the locker room, Pat?
That's good. He wants to be a good teammate. I like the fact he wanted to learn the families, too. But he's going to be invested in his teammates. I just think that's so important. I think when I played and we had success, we had a team that everybody got along, and it goes a long way. And we were talking about the trust earlier about when you're looking at the quarterback in the huddle. Just, you know, I would never was in that huddle. I'd be on the sideline, but you would trust certain players more just because you knew them well and you expected them and knew they could come through at the end. And I like that. He wants to learn teammates' names first. He wants to be a good teammate. That's great.
What do you think, Coach?
Yeah, no, I agree. That's, he's saying all the right things. You know, that's as far as, you know, playing football, commitment to football, teammates, leadership, his goals. I mean, the guy, he truly has thought this through. This is nothing that has caught him off guard, you know, and he's sitting there with, you know, the deer in the headlights and saying, what am I, what's next? What's going on here? I mean, when he walked at a podium, Spiggs, I agree with you. This is something he had thought through. And I think it all kind of, you know, came to a head there when he left out his, what'd you call it, a primal scream?
The primal scream, baby.
So is that on his scouting report now? Great primal screamer?
You know, maybe we'll hear it. Maybe we'll hear it after touchdowns. Who knows? You know? Hey, Coach, should J.J. McCarthy be a top 10 pick?
Yes.
He should?
I think so. Absolutely, I do.
Tell us why. You watched a lot of Michigan ball.
Yeah, because I think he can make all the throws necessary. The guy's a better athlete than people give him credit for. The guy is a leader. You want a leader at quarterback. You want a face of the program. That's J.J. McCarthy. You want a guy that when your team's down can bring them back. And win, they were down by a score to Alabama in a pretty big game. He took him down and scored once. He went to overtime. He got the ball. He took him down and scored again. So he checks that box. So, absolutely. I think this guy will be – and he played 6 games without the head coach being there. You know, think about it. Who's really kind of the quarterback coach? I mean, let's face it. Jim's always got his hands on the quarterback and relating to play calling and game plan. And Jim was gone for 6 games this year, guys.
Yep.
And I like his swagger. Remember when Jim was gone, they were getting ready to play Ohio State, somebody asked him, what do you think? You know, and he says, hey, bet on us. Bet on us. So I like the swagger that he has too, even though it's not something that you see every day.
And that guy, Jim Harbaugh, with the Chargers, they're on the clock right now at 5.
And there's a couple more minutes on the clock, and a small surprise, Adam Schefter reporting that there will be no trade here. So a team that has had to jettison a lot of expensive players to get under the cap, including that's the reason why Keenan Allen is on the Bears for a 4th-round pick because he didn't agree to a contract restructuring.
Wow.
They need a lot of young, cheap talent. They're carrying some dead cap space. They are sticking at number five.
You think they deliver Malik Nabers to Justin Herbert?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they – I hope not for the Bears' sake at nine for a receiver.
They've got Rashawn Slater at left tackle, right?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, J.C. Latham, the gambling markets moved him significantly for first tackle taken. Peter Schrager and Daniel Jeremiah in their final mock draft today had the tackle from Alabama, had Pat's guy going to the Chargers at five.
Hey, Pat, I saw last year five tackles got picked. Four of them played right tackle as rookies. One of them played guard. That's Skaronski. So the era of needing to be a left tackle or nothing in the first round is long, long gone, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. And you look at the Eagles, Lane Johnson, right? The right tackle just locks guys down. So if you can have one side for protection-wise, in my opinion, that you can lock down, you can do a lot more up front with your protection schemes and taking care of other guys, you know, on the other side with chipping guys or whatever. But, yeah, I just think, like I said at the beginning of the show, you play your best five players now. I think it's changed a little bit offensively on that side of the ball, offensive line-wise. You just get your five best out there to protect your quarterback. I think that's the way it's going, and I think Darnell Wright can be the guy to lock it down on the right side. If they move him to left, who knows, whatever they do. But, yeah, I think a right tackle can just, you know, it's changed. It's just changed.
It'll be interesting to see if it's – and it is. It's Joe Alt. It's Joe Alt to the Chargers. Joe Alt to the Chargers at number five. So even though Slater is there, we'll see if that means they play Alt on the right side, but that's pretty darn Harbaugh, isn't it, to go to go big time tackle and run the ball.
You know what? I think that's a smart move, putting him on the right side. He can be a little bit, you know, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong, but there's some stiffness there. There really is. You know, the best tackle I had was a kid from Washington. Was it Troy Fontua?
Fatano. His tape is fun.
Oh, this guy's the best tackle, in my opinion. My opinion in the draft. He is a foot athlete. Play him at left, right, guard, center. Put him where you want him. I'm a fan of that guy.
Let's get another reaction to the Bears selecting Caleb Williams, 312-644-6767. Mike is in Rockford on the Parkinson Spiegel draft special on The Score. What up, Mike?
Guys, great to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I want to be optimistic as a lifelong Bear fan at 62 years of age, but Jim McMahon said this a few years ago, Chicago's where quarterbacks go to die, and I don't want to put a pin in everybody's balloon, okay?
Yeah, you do.
But let's face it, guys, it's not the player that I worry about. I think if Justin Fields was drafted by the Packers and he sat behind Aaron Rodgers, he would be doing what Jordan Love is doing. I just think it's the development. And when you throw a guy into the fire, we have an offensive coordinator that's not been proven. He's not even been an offensive coordinator. And this is the problem. And it's like Bernstein.
He was an offensive coordinator in Seattle when Geno Smith had a 30-touchdown season and won comeback player of the year. Next point.
And he's called his own plays. Yeah, so that one's dead.
Okay, so my next point is that the Bears, they shingle. They keep overlapping. You know, okay, so if they have a bad season, they fire Eberflus. They're going to hire a whole new coaching staff, a new offensive coaching staff, and they'll have to mess with his mind because he's not going to, you know, and this is what they've done to every quarterback that they've drafted. They did it to Jay Cutler. Look what they did to Jay Cutler, guys. This is,
listen,
history doesn't lie.
That is a fair fear. That is a fair concern.
You got a different GM, different head coach. It's a whole different system right now.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
But Pat and coach, the idea that things could be changing again, you know, with your coaching structure, that is a fair concern.
Sure.
But I'm sure that other organizations have had that concern and then drafted the one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you get the guy, then the history and those kind of fears don't exist in the same way.
But I also believe the great ones overcome anything. They can overcome bad coaching. I really
Amen.
Do.
That's what we're seeing with Justin Herbert, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Justin Herbert had Caleb's
that guy. I mean, hopefully he has a great coach and he can play, but the great ones can overcome.
The Bears have made an announcement with Caleb Williams that Caleb Williams will wear 18 as his jersey number.
Kyle Orton.
His high school number will be his number in the pros. So 18 is the jersey number for Caleb Williams. My custom 13 Williams jersey is now a collector's item.
No, duct tape. Just duct tape the three.
See, that's a degree from Duke right there.
Problem solver.
Yep.
Good point, Pat.
Yep.
Thank you. Now I can't be on Twitter for the rest of the night because I'll just be getting mocked relentlessly.
I hope that Taylor Gabriel fans don't mind if Caleb Williams wears their number 18 instead. Boy, not a great history of number 18s. Oh, Dante Pettis most recently wore number 18.
Don't disrespect
Dane
Sozenbacher.
He's still on the team.
He's back.
Pettis is still on a team, isn't
he?
Do you just cut
it? Not getting 18.
Spiggs, did you just cut him?
I think Caleb
just for the number, just because of the number reason.
Hey, Pat Manley, guy who used to drink beers with you in the back of your El Camino, used to wear
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton, number 18. Yep. That's right. So anybody out there still with an Orton jersey, get ready to repurpose that.
That's right.
Well, actually, shouldn't be laughing.
I think we should, as a matter of fact.
People are like, oh, Parkins, your jersey's ruined. Do you know how many dumb jerseys I had as a kid? Like guys who would get injured or guys who ended up being bad or whatever.
Well, you have a collector's item now. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't even wear jerseys anymore. It was all for the bits.
Actually, I've got a good – that's funny you brought up Kyle Orton. Let me give you a little story about having a rookie quarterback and a veteran wide receiver. So we brought in Musa Muhammad, right? And Kyle Orton was a rookie quarterback. We got done. We won a game, I think in Detroit or Green Bay somewhere. And you get back early to Hallis Hall at like 3:30 or after, you know, get back quickly, like 4 or 5 o'clock. But Moose, he said, Kyle, grab a couple guys. We're going out tonight. We're going to the city. So he grabbed a limo, took us out to the city, and he taught Kyle, like, because Kyle was known as a partier.
Right.
It was about 10 o'clock. He's like, we're going. We're leaving. We're done. Kyle's like, wait, what? No more beer? And he goes, no, you're done. You're going home. You got work to do tomorrow. And that was a cool thing that a veteran did to a rookie quarterback to teach him that, hey, a win's a win. That's awesome. You can celebrate a little bit, but get your ass back home. We got a game next week. And I thought that was a good way of, you know, something that Keenan Allen could give to Caleb Williams. Something like, I don't know, he's a partier, but just give him just kind of direction that this is the way you do it in the NFL. You know, and I thought that was a pretty neat moment that Moose did for Kyle.
Yeah, well, we got, you know, with DJ Moore, obviously Keenan Allen, you got Swift. I mean, we've got a few guys now that Komet that have been around a few years. That will be, and they're the type of people that you do want influencing your young quarterback. So that's a good situation.
It is a really good situation. It's a really good spot to have a young quarterback step into this offense full of veterans and full of quality targets that he knows he can trust. It is a way better spot than any Bears quarterback has ever stepped into.
And nobody wants to give the defense much credit. I know Danny could care less, but when the Bears won the division a few years back when we were talking about it, I mean, that was the defense that was, what, second in takeaways? They were a top five defense. And they gave
up. 2024 NFL draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers.
Oh, boy.
Wide receiver, LSU.
So the run on receivers continues. So no trades in the top six. It's gone Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, and now Malik Nabers to New York. So J.J. McCarthy is falling, which could be good for the Bears in a trade down spot.
Yes, it could.
I would imagine could trigger a trade up spot at some scenario here if Tennessee or especially Atlanta, which is a prime trade down candidate as well. But with J.J. McCarthy falling but two receivers off the board, is Tennessee going to pass on Rome Odunze at number seven, because Alt is off the board and those two receivers are off the board? I don't think Atlanta would take Odunze because their last three first-round picks have been skill position guys in Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Drake London. So for those of us who dream of Odunze to the Bears at nine, Tennessee needs to pass on him, and someone needs to not trade up to Atlanta to take a wide receiver. That's the two variables that are left.
I think that's true. And if Tennessee were to pass on Odunze at seven, then Atlanta would need to sell to these other players, these other teams, that they would take Odunze. Because if you're jumping up there, they're not going to take McCarthy.
No, but someone would be jumping up just because they think the price point to get him at that, you know, that hopefully there would be multiple teams bidding on him would be the idea.
Well,
right?
I think if you're the Bears at nine and Atlanta at eight, you're hoping that McCarthy is there so you can negotiate with both the Vikings, who sit at 11, and Denver, who sits at 12, in trying to get them to give you as much as possible to jump up to take McCarthy at eight or nine before somebody else does.
Yeah, I think this is the Giants. you know, they could say we're going to stay with Daniel Jones, right, guys?
They did,
and just say, okay, let's try to get a receiver or somebody. I get that, but I'm just looking here at my value chart. And, you know, it wouldn't cost Minnesota or Denver, who need quarterbacks, a whole lot, you know, if the
Minnesota can definitely do it. Yeah. Denver doesn't have a second-round pick this year, so they would need to give up next year's first probably at this point. But
I just want to say that Minnesota might think they can sit there at 11 and get McCarthy. The Bears have to hope that Sean Payton and the Broncos get aggressive and come to them if that's what they want to do.
I just need Tennessee to pass on Odunze. Just pass on Odunze. Atlanta won't take him, and we should be home free. We will be back to give you an update on the Titans pick, start previewing heavily the 9th overall pick options. We'll hear more from Caleb Williams. We're live in Detroit. We got reporters all over the place. It's the Parkinson Spiegel Draft Special live on The Score.